the bride's journey in the Song of Solomon. And I begin tonight, and it's not just, I guess, the sisters, but I'll start with you. Do you like being told how beautiful you are by your spouse? Do you? Do you ever get tired of it? Do you ever get tired of it? I don't know if Polly's ever told me I was beautiful, but I better not go there tonight. But I appreciate our precious Lord, the lover of our soul. And I'll tell you what, he never stops telling us how beautiful we are to him. And that's what we come to tonight, is because he's not going to stop. And all the way through the Word of God, but especially through this song, our song. This is our song, praise God. And this is what is sung to us in our hearts. We know that this is what the Spirit, as he's taken us on this journey, winds around, but the one thing we know is where it leads, to the arms of the bridegroom. And that's the truth. That's the only place that that will end up, is right there in the arms of the bridegroom. Now, we thank God that all the way through, no matter what, he's not going to stop. We're going to see throughout the Song of Solomon, he's going to tell you you're beautiful when you just get up out of bed without any makeup. Yep. He's going to tell you you're beautiful and there's nothing that can compare to you. Not just after you've been misbehaving, right? While you're misbehaving. When you don't treat him right, he still tells you, I love you. I adore you. I'm ravished by you. That's the lover of our soul. And he's not going to stop. And he's going to continue on. And the reason he does that is so that we know what his grace is to him. What his grace is to him. His grace is everything. And he's made us that wonderful earthen vessel, that the treasure that he puts into us will give him the glory and not us. That's the beauty of it, brothers and sisters. And as we come into more of that understanding, we don't have to try to fail. We will. We don't have to try to be ornery. We are. It's not to give over to it. No, not at all. We're so thankful to God. But what happens and the transforming is when we listen to the Spirit utter the things of the heart of our lover. When the Spirit utters and takes the things of Christ and shows them, everything of his is yours. And he's already given it all to you. And the Father tells you that. I gave you my Son. How could I not, with him, freely give you all things? Because he's it. He is everything. And so in that, I have given you everything. All the way through the Word of God, it talks about the everything. Everything that the master had was in the hands of the servant that went to meet Rebekah. Read that. It's so specific. Everything. Esther comes before the king. What does the king say? Well, you can have a little bit. I'll do what you want. No, he says, what's mine is yours. It wasn't even half the kingdom. If you really see the interpretation of what he says to Esther, honey, it's all yours. It's ours. It's always been yours. Praise the Lord. These things are all the way through the Word of God, and they're ours. They wrote these things for us. This was the mystery that was hidden, but now, praise God, it's made plain. The cookie's not down on the lower shelf. It's not right here. It's just right there. As a matter of fact, I think somebody's actually taken the cookie out and put it in your hand. So I'm grateful to God that we see this. And so we come now to this seventh verse. And we saw that she got distracted. She's come out of a time where she wasn't tending her own garden. She got distracted with others. Others were messing with her, getting to her in different ways. Like we said, the legalists will always try to dampen your joy. And it comes in a lot of different ways, but I think that's a real great example. That's something we fight, and fight very much so, the good fight of faith in this, brothers and sisters, because we honor those in the Lord. We honor those that love the truth. But if God so graced as your life to continue on in the joy of the grace of God, don't stop. Amen. Don't stop. And I thank the Lord for Brother Hill, our pastor, for so many years. There were a lot of ones that helped him so much all the way through. But at times, even, there were ones that had helped him at one time. But yet, because they didn't go the way of the fullness of the grace of God, it can actually begin to hinder you. It's just like the daughters of Jerusalem with our sweet Shulamite here. At times, they were very encouraging to her. She loved to run with them. She was very connected with them. And we will run. We will come. We will. We will. We will. We will. And then as the time went on, as things began to get hot, and the daughters of Jerusalem said, "Nah, this is getting a little bit too much for us." They didn't want to help her anymore. They didn't even just let her go. They actually tried to discourage her. There's other loves. There's other things. And brothers and sisters, I thank the Lord. Yes, we must fight against that. But it's not necessarily me fighting against anything. It's the love of God that fights for me. And knowing this, this is when you just stand in love and nothing else matters. So even though she's been distracted, even though she hasn't tended her garden, and you can see that she's frustrated with herself. She's talking about this dual side of her in a lot of different ways, and how ones have been, again, you tend our garden. You need to tend with what we want you to tend. And finally, she breaks from that. And she asks in verse 7, tell me, O thou whom my soul loves. I love that. You're my love. And what she tells him and what she asks him right away is, where is that high calling flock? This is the flock of noonday that she's asking for. This is the flock, praise God, that is suffering together with him, that's in the heat of the battle. This isn't the flock she's asking for that's, you know, on the lotus land of ease. This isn't the prosper and be in health flock. This is the flock at noonday that lies down because of the feeding. And that's where she says, I need to be there. I need to dwell in that. I need the fellowship of the bridal message. That's what she's saying. I need to gather myself the much the more as I see that day approaching. God put that in our hearts. See, Jesus, the bridegroom shepherd, that's the high calling of God in Christ Jesus' flock. Do you understand that? He's the shepherd. He's the good shepherd. But how do you see that shepherd? Do you see him as your bridegroom? See, that's the sheep, praise God, that will be in that high calling of God in Christ Jesus' flock. Now, what does he say to her so sweetly here? And that's just so glorious. So let's go ahead and read from verse 7. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loves, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. For why should I be as one that turns aside by the flocks of thy companions? I want the best. Praise the Lord. This is the spirit of Tamar. Yes. This is the spirit of Esther. This is the spirit of Ruth. I know whom I believe it, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him. Not that I've committed that I'm going to keep. No, I've committed that unto him. He's the keeper of it. Praise God. And so all she does is call out to him in the promise that he's made to her, which is, okay. I know I'm the called according to your purpose. Why? Because I love you. You have caused me to love you. And we know all things work together for good, for the good to them that love God. Now, she says here, why should I be as one that turns aside from by the flocks of thy companions? Now, verse 8. Here's the response. If thou know not, O fairest among women, go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock and feed thy kids beside the shepherd's tents. I have compared thee, O my love, to a company of horses and Pharaoh's chariots. Thy cheeks are comely with rows of jewels, thy neck with the chains of gold. Now that's the response that he gives her. Even if you don't know, even if you don't know, O thou fairest among women. And that translates word for word in the Hebrew. It says there, if thou knowest not, my most beautiful wife. The very first words that he speaks to her. The very first words. He's reaching deep into her heart. He's giving her the encouragement, all the encouragement. Honey, I've got you. You're my wife. You're the most beautiful, and you're my most beautiful wife. And he says, go to the footsteps. That means the rear. That means go to the back part of the flock. And we'd say, well, that doesn't sound very good. The back, well, again, that's what the legals would say. Oh, well, you're coming back around, are you? Okay, just kind of get in the back of the line. That's not what the Lord's saying here at all. This is like the prodigal. We've had the feast waiting the whole time. I'm coming out to meet you. I've got the robe. I've got the coat. I've got the ring. And most of all, I got the kiss. So here we are. And this is how God does it. So it's not the bad part, the back part. Because we got to figure out what he really means by that. Is the shepherd moves the sheep from the back. A shepherd leads his sheep from behind. And that's how he will move those sheep. And being in the most hinder part or in the back or the rear of the flock, you would be the closest to the shepherd. And matter of fact, the rear part of or the back part of that flock was also the dwelling place of the shepherd's tent. I think we kind of got into that early on where he says to her, or she says, the king hath brought me into his chamber. He knows where to put you. He knows exactly where to place you. Amen? Thank you, Lord. Sometimes we think we've been taking a back seat to things and all of that. No, you've been in the back part of the flock next to the shepherd. Isn't that somehow you can see that? There's your life. He knows what you need. Brother Hill used to say it like this a lot of times too. It'd be like giving a little baby a razor blade. And I'm even talking about as we grow as adults. We think we could handle something or not handle something. Quit thinking. Begin to trust. Put your confidence in God. Trust him. He'll never fail you. He's told you that. He's promised. So he can't stop himself. He can't cease from speaking about how beautiful she is to him. And read that with me now in verse 9. After he said, my most beautiful wife, he says, I have compared thee, O my love. Isn't that glorious? So now he says, I've compared you, again, my most beautiful wife, my love. I mean, he's not beating around the bush. And that's why, again, when we start this and all of the things that come forth right out of those first couple, three verses, we know that this is a married couple. And we know that this is such a wonderful husband. He showers his wife with confidence. And the confidence is that you are beautiful to me. And I do. I appreciated my mother and the example of this. All she wanted to do was to be beautiful to her husband. She did not care to be beautiful to other people. It really didn't matter to her. It was just about John. That's all it was. Everything was that. Matter of fact, it insulted her if people would make advances towards her or in any way, shape, or form that way. And that's the truth. And I always appreciated that about my mother. But she loved her husband. And her husband made my mom knew that John adored her and loved her and thought she was the most beautiful one to him. Now, we can all take that into our own marriages. It's a wonderful thing. And that's something we don't try to do. That's something you pray would come forth out of your life and would continue to. And I would tell you, specifically pray for that. I do lots of counseling and different things of that nature. It's so simple what draws the heart of a woman and draws the heart of a man. And it is the truth. These are things you are made aware of, but of your own strength, you can't do. What you want is something to rise up like a fountain in your life that God has given you. And maybe you don't feel it or have it. God can give it, and he can give it in such abundance. Praise the Lord. Now, so we have here him saying, I've compared thee, O my love, to a company of horses in Pharaoh's chariots. Now, all throughout the Song of Solomon, there's going to be some really interesting comments and compliments from the bridegroom to the bride. Because you think about it, he's even going to tell her, you got two rows of teeth. And I don't know if that's something you want to tell your spouse. I don't think so, even if they did. But in this regard, there's such depth in the beauty of what is being brought out here. And this compliment about this company of Pharaoh's horses reveals his desire for her fully purposed heart. And think again about what she just came out of, meaning that she was kind of torn and not necessarily tending the garden and all of that. And yet he doesn't hit her over the head and say, see, you made a mistake, you need to get on it, you need to stop this. No, he tells her what she is in Christ. He continues to support and encourage her of who she is because he knows the end. He knows the heart that he's given. He is giving you this message week after week after week after week. You are the Shulamite. We are in this journey. We are distracted time and time and time again. But he keeps you in the truth. He keeps you in this bridal message. He keeps wooing your heart, telling you who you are in Christ. Praise the Lord. He will perform the good work. Amen. He will perform the good work. And thank him. And as we become more aware of it and we thank him more for it and just rejoice in this freely unmerited, incredible love that you could never even explain, but you can know it. You can know it, but you can't even tell me what a peach tastes like. How can you really explain the love of Christ? But he tells you and you know it. And the Spirit ministers this to you. And again, his Spirit in you, because you have the Spirit of Christ in you, and it's ministered to that. And I appreciate it, old Paul Golden telling us, you got that knower. It knows. And that knower is there at birth. It knows the Savior. It knows the Father. Amen? Praise God. I got that little grandson. That grandson knows his mom. That grandson's always known his mommy. All different things. And I'm sure that baby knows, and babies know their moms and dads in ways that science will never, ever fully understand. But Jesus knows. Oh, yes, he does. And we know this. So this compliment that comes forth about these horses is because he's speaking to her, honey, it's your fully purposed heart that has just knocked my socks off. I'm head over heels about you because you're so on fire. You know, this is like Gideon time. Who are you talking to, you know? But he's talking to you. And he brings you in here, brings me in here week after week, year after year. And he's been ministering this to my heart, at least cognizantly, that I know since I was 17. And he knew way back then. Matter of fact, he knew way, way back before then, before beginning. Praise the Lord. So what he's saying here is he's speaking of Pharaoh's horses. And we know that what's given to us is the Philippians. The Philippians, that's the war horses. You know that? What Pharaoh's horses were the war horses. And they were the finest. They were the most beautiful. They were majestic. They were warring. They were fearless. They were ready. They were willing. And they wanted battle. They wanted it. The chariot horses, this is all factual that they know of the horses of the chariots of Pharaoh. The chariot horses were feared. They were trained to kill. When they went in and there were bodies on the ground, they trampled them. And they would stomp on them. And they were taught to destroy them. Sounds a little bit like David the bloody man. Come on. Now, they were also trained to be addicted to speed. Runner. Amen. Praise the Lord. Isn't that what's called hyperperisuo grace? I know y'all seen, I'm sure, Star Trek, you know, that can't even compare to hyperperisuo grace. That kind of speed. That kind of acceleration. But this is what this is speaking of. They were trained to be addicted to it. They were perfectly made to war. Teach my hands to war. You see how all this is? It's perfect, and it is. And it gets even sweeter here. Now, these horses were difficult, though, to control. I'm looking at them. They're difficult. Go ask those jockeys that ride like a secretariat and them kind of things. They're on a locomotive on a jet fuel. It takes a lot of strength to ride those horses. I got a daughter-in-law that would ride those beautiful horses and things. And I'll tell you what, they're strong, they're beautiful, and the stronger and more beautiful they are, they try to throw you off. But these horses, they're difficult to control, especially in the heat of battle. And I was thinking, wow, Lord, that's me. You know, you've endued us with everything. You've provided us everything. But praise be to God how we need him. We are hard to control. Now, it was fun, too, to listen about these horses. You almost really couldn't even kill them. With arrows and swords, it didn't stop them. It actually excited these horses, the way that they were bred and the way that they were groomed. They loved wounds. They loved to be cut. Their circulatory system ramped up in the fight, and it actually saved them. Because what would happen is that they would have so much adrenaline in their systems that would continue on even after the battle, that they would get back to the camp, that those deadly wounds could be tended and those horses could be healed. Wonderfully and fearfully made, saints. And we are wonderfully and fearfully made to win him. But there are two main weaknesses about these horses. And I think we can relate to this. The first one was stamina. They get out there real fast, and then they would kind of, you know, a lot of zeal, but not according to knowledge. You understand how we can be. And what happened was that the horse had to be properly managed by the driver, or they would not endure. They would fall out of the battle. They would fall out of the race. We always have to be under the guidance and the tempo of the driver. Take the reins of my heart, Lord. See how all these things come together and how purposeful this is for us, brothers and sisters. I just thank God, thank you for the glory that's in this. Now, the second weakness was what was known as a startle reflex. Unexpected things happening could knock them right out. They'd just get all worked up, and there they went off the wrong way. They got out of order, whatever it was, and actually it could put the horse in great harm. And I think about us, brothers and sisters, that oftentimes we can get startled by things. They can come in unaware. We can be despairing of our own lives, amen? But that's why we must rely upon the driver. We must rely upon, Lord, take the reins of my heart. You are the one that directs my steps. You're the one that has completely mapped out my life. This is a predestinated thing. The before ordained good works that we should walk therein. They're all right there before us. Now, when this would happen, I was thinking, Lord, when we get in those kind of ways, we run in a way beating the air, and I don't want to run that way. I want to run, praise God, with him in control, with beautiful strides, strides that are gaining, not just here and there. But see, when that goes on, when we're uncontrollable, what would happen with those horses, that the enemies would try to startle the horse, to throw them off. They would give them expected sounds and flashes to try to hinder them, and then they would go in there to defeat them. But then they figured out, well, we can put blinders on our horses. Isn't that gorgeous? Yeah, put blinders on them so that they couldn't look to the left or to the right. They only could see straight ahead. Huh? They only could see the word of his grace. All they could see was the glory that was set before them. Amen. Brothers and sisters, we hit it every day. And we're hitting it more and more. And I've seen it especially. God graced my life to be your pastor especially. And I do believe in these last times. And I see the attack and its intensity and the evil of man waxing worse and worse and the distractions seeming so real and the reasons for being distracted so good. The devil's had a lot of time to practice his lies. Yeah. I still give him no credit because he can't even think of anything without God giving him allowance to do it. He's got to lift up the hedge, our precious Lord, for the devil even to find us. Amen. Understand that. Know that for yourselves, brothers and sisters. But by the grace of God, when you begin to start to think about this world and the causes of it in any way, shape, or form, I do not care how good the intention is, how wonderful the result would be for mankind. And you can put Christianity in it. You can move it however you want. You can miss it. And you can miss it real quick. It's summed up in this. When you see these things come to pass, look up. Look up. The Lord knows we need to be looking up. Where we are seated with him in the heavens in Christ right now. Look up at that throne, praise God, the midst of the throne of glory that my bridegroom awaits to take with me. Praise the Lord. Don't ever think that we're too much of anything to not get involved with something that could not knock us out. We are so weak. So weak, we need him for everything. So, as we go on and we think about this, besides those blinders, thanks be to God, the blinders that he puts on us, they attached bells on these horses. They put little jingle bells on them. And the reason that they put those jingle bells on it was twofold. The main one is so that the horses would run with the same gait and stay together as one unit, in one spirit, one faith, doing what? Running together. I love that. There's no more beautiful sound than hearing the herd run for the prize. I told you, I got that painting. There are those two horses running right out of the fire, thundering hooves. But these are the bells that the Lord puts on us. And what a beautiful song it plays as we run. And it drowns out the enemy's threats. Just run. So you can see, brothers and sisters, how God is so good to us. He's talking about the chariots, the horses of Pharaoh's army. Think about some of the chariots in the Word of God. The chariot that took Elijah to heaven. Amen? You think about, and I, it was sweet. It was that king, Jehu, in 2 Kings 9 and 10. He was the crazy chariot driver. That's how they knew he was coming. Because he was riding that thing like a nut. And he was feared and all. And when he went into battle, the king would go into, he loved it. He was an expert in it. And he could take that into battle and kill with it and destroy with it. And then we were seeing him coming afar off. The ones were wondering to know who was coming. They could see that thing. It looked like a race car Ferrari. All over the place. Oh, that's King Jehu. We better watch out. And then finally, how about our favorite brothers and sisters in Revelation? He that is faithful and true, you ready to mount up and ride? Amen. I told you I got that little statue, the wrath of God. And there's my sweet Jesus on that white horse. He that is faithful and true. Yeah. There's so much to it. But what again, he's telling us. He's telling us. You've got that fire. Because I did it. You got the passion. Because I put it there. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. So we thank God. So we get then to verse 10. And how beautiful. He doesn't stop just with the Pharaoh's chariots. He says, thy cheeks are comely with rows of jewels, thy neck with chains of gold. The Lord loves to adorn his bride. All the way through, brothers and sisters, this is about his wife. This is about how he sees us and encourages us and what he gave us at the well, what we wear and how he sees us. Do you understand this? This is what we were decked out with right at the beginning. Rebecca was given these things. These cheeks with jewels, these were the jewels that were fast fastened to the heads of the brides. And they hung down upon their cheeks. You need to go and look at the pictures of the ancient Eastern brides and how they would look. Those jewels were so thick you couldn't even see their faces. And they hung from their head, and they would go around their ear, and they would come over their face. It almost looked like a covering. It was so beautiful. The jewels, the beauty, all of that, that was for him. Turn on over to Genesis 24, 47. We read this about Rebecca. And again, this is moments after that servant met her at the well. And in verse 47 of Genesis 24, it says, and I asked her, again, this is Eliezer explaining, and said, whose daughter art thou? And she said, the daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, whom Milcah bare unto him. And that servant said, and I put the earring upon her face and the bracelets upon her hands. These weren't just little earring loops. This was the earring that went across the face, upon the cheeks. This is always speaking of the bride, the wife, the one who is already contracted into being married. This is us. This is the Shulamite. Praise be to God. Once again, take this in such joy and thanksgiving. You're it. You're already it. He's given you all this. Just go for that ride. Thank him. Quit worrying again about how you look. She's going to have that problem throughout this. She's going to be battled. We're battled all the time. From the moment we said, I'll go, the moment we said, I do. Amen? It's going to be the point in the time where he's going to be at the door and she's going to be distracted again. thinking, well, I can do something. How many times do we think that in our lives, brothers and sisters, where we think we need to do something of our own strength to receive something of merit or love or embracing of the Lord? And he said, no, no, I made you who you are for me. Absolutely, he did. Grace has done it all. Whom he foreknew, he predestinated. Believe the Lord for his calling. He will perform it in the thing that he has sent it. He will accomplish it. It will give him all of his pleasure. That's who you are that receive this word of his grace. It will build you up. The word of his grace builds you up and gives you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. Did you hear that? It's the word of his grace. It's the word of his unmerited favor. It's the word of his unmerited love. It's the word of his absolute unmerited mercy. That's what builds you up. Period. Period. Anything else will detract. It'll distract. It won't accomplish what it needs to accomplish. The Lord does the adorning. The Lord makes you beautiful. The word of his grace makes you beautiful. Turn to Ezekiel 16. We have a little time. This is the way the Lord's always done this. And it hurts my heart thinking about this was Israel. This was the wife of Father God. And this is how he adorned Israel for him. And how beautiful this whole story goes. But this is the way the Godhead always woos the first love of the Godhead. Whether it's Israel, the first love of the Father, or whether it's the bride, the first love of the Lamb of God. Listen to these wonderful verses, reading from Ezekiel 16, verse 8. Again, this is God speaking of Israel. Now, when I passed by thee and I looked upon thee, behold, thy time was the time of love. Sounds a lot like Esther with the king. Amen? A moment, Ruth, in that field. It didn't take long for Boaz, did he? You make sure she comes back and gets right there again. No other field. She's mine. Come on now. Get excited about that. That's you with the Lord. This is why they wrote these things. They're just not some goofy stories that pop up here and there and have a theme. This isn't, you know, English lit. This is light you up, Jesus love. This is it. And this is the truth. This is what's so incredible. And the Lord has given you enlightened eyes to say that is so true. That's so easy to see. And it's easy to see for you because you are the elect of God. You are the ones that he would give that grace to. And it's not to shine you. It was there for everyone. He's not a respecter of person. You know that. Amen? But he does know. Yes, he does. There are ranks. And obviously, too, there are people that have eyes and ears, and they're never going to see it. They're never going to hear it. And they're going to enter into a Christless eternity of hell and eventually the lake of fire. When all of that wasn't even originally made for man, it was only for the fallen angels. But the Lord also knew it's got to be a big place because there's going to be a lot that won't believe. Sad, but here it is. And think of this as you and being in this church age time because he still deals the same way. This is you, okay? Now, when I passed by thee and I looked upon thee, behold, thy time was the time of love. Wasn't a time of judgment. Love. And I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, thou becamest mine. Sounds like a marriage to me. Huh? Get excited. Then washed I thee with water. Yea, I thoroughly washed away thy blood from thee. And I anointed thee with oil. Sounds like he's doing everything. I clothed thee also with broidered work, shod thee with badger skin, and I girded thee about with fine linen, and I covered thee with silk. I decked thee also with ornaments. I put bracelets upon thy hands, and a chain on thy neck. And I put a jewel on thy forehead, and earrings in thine ears, and a beautiful crown upon thine head. Thus wast thou decked with the gold and silver. The raiment was of the finest linen and silk and broidered work. Thou didst eat fine flour, honey, oil. Thou wast exceedingly beautiful, and thou didst prosper into a kingdom. A crown and prospered into a kingdom. New Jerusalem coming down from heaven, having the glory of God, bride. You see how this is, the pattern? It never changes. And thy renown went forth among the heathen for thy beauty. We'll just stop there. Because there's a falling away that happened right after that. And that was Israel for the Father. But I thank the Lord, we even have a better thing that is given to us. And he does the work just like he did for them. So we see this pattern, whether Genesis 24, whether Ezekiel 16, whether it's Revelation 21, 2, the bride adorned, New Jerusalem. He did the adorning. She's clothed with the righteousness of saints. Praise the Lord. This is him. This is all him. This is all his grace. She is the magnificence of his glory. And he is ravished by his masterpiece, by the word of his grace, as Paul told the Ephesian saints. And then finally tonight, going back to our text, it says about her neck. And what a beautiful thing that neck is. It's such a beautiful part of the body, especially upon a woman, and how the Lord points this out so sweetly here. Yes, the neck does speak of strength. We understand these things. It's a wonderful thing. We know he is our strength. But in this context, we're in the wedding. We're talking about the bride. So just like those earrings that adorned that across the face of the bride, the same thing with this necklace. They were jewels. And they were worn by the bride at the wedding. The bride wore the necklace, which was specifically, and this is beautiful too, and even in Hebrew culture of the ancients and all of that, a necklace was worn by the bride that was specifically given to her by her husband. It was often part of the dowry that was paid for her. Most times, that necklace was of pearls. Isn't that glorious? The goodly pearl, here she comes for him. And I love to close with this verse because I think it's perfect. Proverbs 3:3 of what we've been reading on tonight. Because we know that this is mercy, amen? We know this is grace. And the reason we know the mercy and the grace is because of his word, because of the truth, right? Because of the promises of God, because of the word of God. So we have all of this mercy, we have all of this grace, and we have all this truth. So what does Proverbs 3:3 tell us? Let not mercy and truth forsake. That means don't let mercy or truth ever loose from you. Amen. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. That's your mercy in truth. Okay? And what's it say? Bind them about thy neck. There's your necklace. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. He's encouraging us all the way. Amen. Let's go ahead and stand, be dismissed tonight.